Hey guys, welcome to Ivana's Thoughts. I'm Ivana Walker, and today I have Ashley and Stephanie joining me. And we are going to be discussing unpacking childhood trauma, basically. So, first, how are you guys feeling today?
I feel great.
A little jittery.
I think we're all a little overwhelmed. School starting.
Overwhelmed. I mean, you know what? I just said that.
Yes. Yeah. Same. It's been a long week. It seems like it's still like Monday. You know how Monday usually feels? Like it's like the start of the week and it's Thursday and I'm
On Tuesday I was like, it's been a long week. It's only Tuesday.
It's so long. Well, hopefully this will kind of help you, you know, kind of take a break from everything else and just have a good discussion. Okay. Okay, so let's get started. Things our parents did or did not do take a big part of how we move in life, from the way we view education, the way we interact with others, and even the way we form our families. So today I want to discuss with you ladies to address how much of our personal dysfunction is compounded by our own decision as opposed to our ancestry. The first question I had to ask was, what are some things that you ladies have struggled with unlearning from your childhood, good or bad?
The first thing that came to my mind when I, you know, was going over it was learning to communicate. Like, I've had to unlearn not communicating, if that makes sense. Like,
so like you're struggling with communicating with others, or
So growing up, I was taught to, you know, like especially with feelings, you know, taught to like suck it up, do what you got to do, you know, like strong, independent woman, you got it, you don't depend on nobody. Like, so communicating those feelings and communicating the fact, like, look, I'm struggling. I need help.
Okay. How about you, Steph?
Well, like, it's kind of, it's weird because, like, my mom spoiled me. But in the long run, she really messed me up in that area because I don't like to clean up.
Girl, I don't either.
Yeah, but like it's to the point like my mom would clean my room for me.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So it's like, okay, I'm grown now. I don't have anybody to clean my room. This is our problem.
I gotta do it.
I have to do it, and so you know it kind of set me back to have that self discipline because it just wasn't there. Cause I didn't have to do it.
Yeah.
I didn't have to do anything.
Huh. The thing is, I can relate to both of those things in some kind of form.
Yeah.
Because like, I'm the same way with communication. Like that was like the first thing that I thought of that, like my childhood has really like, you know, it had a really strong way of, kind of showing up once I got older. That I suck at communicating. I suck because I either get extremely angry or I just completely shut down. And I just, there's no in between. And I'm like slowly learning that I need to get better in that, because if I don't, it's gonna really mess me up like within myself, or just mess up the relationships I have. You know what I'm saying? And then the cleaning thing, like I was constantly cleaning, like constantly. And sometimes I just like, I get overwhelmed with like different stuff. So I have to like, I have to basically set out a schedule for me, because if I don't, I won't do it for one. And then, and it's not because I don't want to, it's because I want to do everything at once. And I just end up being like, overwhelmed, basically, just overwhelmed.
Yeah, see, but I went from not being overwhelmed at all to being thrown in life. And it's like, oh, it's like, life.
Wait a minute. I'm supposed to do this?
My responsibilities.
I'm responsibilities, the yes. But, from my dad, though, it was, you know, he was big on accountability. Mm-hmm. You got to take accountability. And so I learned that, like, there is a such thing as too much accountability. Like, I learned that some things are really totally, truly not my fault. And that didn't dawn on me until I got older, because, you know, my dad is like, you got to be accountable for your actions, be accountable for the things you put yourself in, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, okay. Sometimes I just didn't know. Yeah. I didn't know what I was getting into. Mm-hmm. And the other person did.
Right.
So, like, even in situations where, where it is actually the other person's fault, you still felt like it was yours.
Yes.
Oh, yep. Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I always find, like, some type of something to say, oh, well, this is why this happened, because I did this.
Yep.
Yeah.
I can agree with that.
I gotcha. Yeah.
Like, learning, that's almost like for me, but saying sorry, you know, like,
oh my gosh, yes,
I'm sorry. Like, I can't come, I'm so sorry. And it's like, I mean, you have a life, just like we all do. And I beat myself up over that all the time. I say sorry so fast. And
yes, over everything.
Like, actually, you don't even have nothing to do with it. Like, why are you, you apologizing for? Mm-hmm. But it's, and it's kind of hand in hand with what Stephanie's saying. Like, I always find some fault, like, where it is my fault, when in reality it's really not, but I still feel like
you have to be sorry.
Yeah, like, it's something I should have been able to do, or something I should have done. Or,
I have the same issue. My friends get onto me a lot with saying sorry after everything. Like, if I forgot to call them back, I'm sorry. And they'll be like, it's not that big of a deal. But I'm so used to, it's like just something that's just, I've always had to say. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Because I always, like you said, you always felt like it was like something that you can control. But even when it's the minor things, which you really don't have to apologize for, it's because, you know, I mean, we're grown, it's life and what have you. But it's just, it's hard to get away from something that you've been doing for so long.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. You know what? This is perfect, because this goes with the next question. Like, what are your thoughts on generational curses?
That they definitely exist and are kicking. They're kicking my, you know, I don't want to say the word, but it's got a good foot in there for
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're real, but they can be broken, though. They can be broken.
For sure.
Yes. I think I think it's becoming aware, like, becoming aware of what a generational curse is, right, versus a generational choice. That's, like, something I'm really, like, big on, because there are things. Okay, so for me, because Quinn asked me before, because he didn't understand, I was like, a generational curse is more something that, like, it's been going on for, I mean, your ancestors have suffered through this and everything, right? For so long. Like, financial stability. Like, when we talk about minorities not having the same financial stability as Caucasians, right? Like, that's a generational curse. That's something that it takes a really long time to break, because for so many years we've been behind on the game, right? We've been held against that, you know, being up to where they are because of slavery, because of all these things, right? But a generational choice is more so how you raise your kids, right? Like, I grew up this way, so I can choose to either raise my kids the same way or make it better and make those changes that's necessary in order for us to continue growing in a positive way versus, you know, kind of sticking to the same old thing.
And, you know, that is that's a struggle, you know, like that's something I struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trying to break that cycle, I like to say.
That's so hard.
It is. Yes. And then especially when you're trying to do it with your family, you know, mm-hmm. your parents. So when they see you discipline your child this way or whatever, you know, the case may be, they have so much input, and it's like, well, I didn't raise you that way, or I didn't do it. And it's like, you know, that's fine.
Yeah. But, and that's okay.
But it's such a, for me personally, it's been a battle. Like, I'm constantly back and forth. Like, mm-hmm. this is how I choose. You know, this is what I want for my family. And
mm-hmm. yeah, I think in breaking these generational curses, right, and making sure that we make the right choices to do so, especially when it comes to parenting, we have to kind of parent our parents. You know what I'm saying? Like, because they're, and that's, I know that's crazy to like say, but I just feel like they're struggling through the same things, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
they grew up the way they grew up, so obviously they're gonna teach their kids the way that they, the only way they know. So whenever we make changes and it's not the way that they find, I guess, the norm for them, it makes them uncomfortable. And we know when it comes to past generations, like, change is a hard thing to do, right? So, like, mm-hmm. parenting our parents is going to be hard, but it's definitely necessary if we want them to grow with us and kind of understand why we're taking the steps that we're taking, sure. in order to move forward.
I think the biggest thing with that, though, too, is, you know, I know for me, my parents are older, are mm-hmm. a lot older. And so, I mean, I don't like to say, you know, they're old and stuck in their ways, but at the same time, it's kind of true.
Yeah.
I'll say, you know, this is why I choose to be this way, or say this to Gracie. And, you know, I could just see on my parents' face. Like, one parent, my dad is very understanding. He gets it, you know? Mm-hmm. He understands. My mom, I can just see her kind of, like, rolling her eyes, like, whatever. You know, so mm-hmm. it's like, you want to teach them so they can grow with you, but do they have the correct mindset? Because
yeah.
in their upbringing, all of this that what we're up on as far as generational curses and breaking the cycle, you know, it wasn't prominent with them. So they don't, it's almost like they just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And right. it's hard to, you know, like, it's kind of hard to get them to switch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or to be open-minded, I think, is what I'm looking for. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? This goes into, it's like, this is flowing all into the other areas. It's like, with a lot of the, I have a lot of older women in my family. Mm-hmm. And so, because my grandmother had 7 kids, and what, 4 of them are girls. Mm-hmm. So, females. Yeah. So, it took them years and years and years to understand why I stopped eating certain foods when I mm-hmm. went to grandma's house, why I started drinking certain types of teas and waters. It took years. Like, they, you know, in the beginning, it's like, why are you doing that? But now I can say that most of my grandmother's kids, they do what I do now.
Mm-hmm.
Except for my mother.
Yeah. But you know what's funny, though? Because she's your mom. I think as a parent, you have this mindset. Me being a parent now, I raised you. Look at you. You're doing so well. So what is, why do you need to change these things? I mean, you're fine, right? And mm-hmm. I think it's hard for us to, like, be like, you know what? Let me take a step back right quick and make sure that they're making their life choices for a good reason. And once you see the benefit in that, that's when you can be like, you know what, I can do it too, or I see that there is a purpose to this,
right?
I think it's all it's into his baby steps. I mm-hmm. mean, we just gotta, once I have, you know, my daughter, it just opened up another world for me. And like, I seen my parents as people versus just my parents.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, so yeah, they're older and yeah, they raised me, but they don't know a lot of stuff just like I don't. You know, like, mm-hmm. I gotta be patient with them just as they've been patient with me. So it,
right. I mean, because at the end of the day, like, generational curses, of course, they're cycles. Mm-hmm. And so if you're used to going this one path over and over again, it takes a different type of faith to break from that and go a direction that nobody else is going.
Yeah. Right?
You know, you're in an entirely new way of life or lifestyle, whatever it may be. And you got to have the courage to live whatever path you're trying to take, as well as the consistency and dedication to really stick to it, because old habits die hard, mm-hmm. You know, and it takes a while to even build up new habits.
Yeah. When I became a parent, the first thing that came to my mind was like all the things that I went through growing up, you know what I'm saying? Like how my parents raised me and stuff. And there was so many things that I was like, you know what? I want to make sure that I don't do that. You know, right. Like I want to make sure that I can, you know, create a foundation that is healthy so that we can build on in a better way. Because my childhood wasn't all, you know, sunflowers and rainbows, you know?
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask y'all, like, was there, like, did you guys ever have a moment where you'd say, when I'm a parent, I'm never going to do that? Like, what are some of those things that you felt like, you know what, I'm not going to do that?
Well, surprisingly, mm-hmm. I never wanted kids.
Girl, me either.
Me, like, having children was just never. I wanted two dogs, I wanted two pit bulls, a cat, and a truck. That's what I saw in my future.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I had a beautiful, bouncing daughter. And, you know, it wasn't until after I had my daughter that I really thought about it, you yeah. know, how I wanted to be as a mother. And I knew it took my brother actually to tell me where I lacked in. Mm-hmm. which is actually where he told me that it was a generational curse, that the women in our family are not very affectionate.
Yeah.
And I never thought about it. And he was right, because when I had my daughter, I wasn't a mother. I was just a parent. Mm-hmm. I had birthed a child and I was taking care of the child, but I was missing the nurturing part that really, really made me a mother.
Oh my gosh.
And so it took my brother saying, you need to love your child. I'm like, I do love her. No. Yeah. Love her. Hold her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tell her you love her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell her she's beautiful. Yep. You need to do
this. Oh my gosh, that's giving me goosebumps, because I feel that so much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel that so much. I think that our generation came from another generation that wasn't as affectionate as they could have been, right? Like, they, mm-hmm. it was tough love. Like, all my yeah. life, it's been, like, tough love. Suck it up. Like, yeah, you'll be okay. Buttercup. Yes. You work hard. Mm-hmm. Good things will happen. Work. We got to move on.
Right.
Goodness. Ooh-wee. Yeah, that's tough. That is tough.
Mhm.
And like, I'll say, you know, my daughter, she brought that out of me. My family was not very affectionate, you know, and it's not often that I heard, "I love you." Mm-hmm. You know, like, I mean, I knew it was there, but I didn't hear it.
Yeah.
And so having her, you know, she, like, I don't know, it was almost a automatic, just like, oh my God, this is mine, you know, let me mm-hmm. kiss on those cheeks and just, you know, build up that mm-hmm. you know, build her with affirmations. And like, one of the things that, and I think I said this last time we talked, the biggest thing for me was how I spoke to Gracie, you mm-hmm. know, and like when she did something wrong, not immediately just going in on her, you know, because that's mm-hmm. how I was treated as a kid. And so a lot of times I'll think before I speak or before I say something to her, and I'll ask myself, like, you know, if I were in her shoes as a child, you know, how would I want to be, you know, responded to? Like, what would make me feel, you know, oh, let me go hide in my room? Or what would make me stand here and truly understand what my mom is saying versus being, you know, terrified?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because I feel like that right there, it can either make or break your child, you know? It either gives them the confidence to say, hey, mom, look, this is not what I meant to do. I'm sorry that it happened, versus, you know, I'm not going to say anything. It's just...
Right.
Yeah.
And I used to feel like my mom used to talk at me, and
and it don't go nowhere.
Yell, talk at me, fuss, and I'm like,
why you got to do all that?
Yes. Like, why?
Tell me what it is. And yeah.
I struggle with that a lot. Like, because I literally just did that like earlier today. I was like, why am I fussing at him? Like, why am I? It was something minor. Like, it wasn't that big of a deal. And like, I'm constantly like beating myself up for that, because I think that's where a lot of my anxiety came from, right? Like, getting in trouble for every little thing. Yeah. And just like, you know, kind of being paranoid, like, oh my gosh, if I do this, I need to make sure that I, you know, clean this up really, really quickly before I get in trouble. And I really do like, I don't want to, I struggle a lot with anxiety, and I don't want to like have that be something that Alex struggles with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, first step in that, like I think for myself, I mean, because I've struggled and battled with it. You know, I always check myself. Like mm-hmm. I said a little bit ago, like I legit stop and think, like, how do I need to respond right now? Because I know I want to go off, mm-hmm. but how is it going to, you know, affect? And I don't think you should beat yourself up over it. I mean, I've fussed and, you know, but the main thing that I do try to do is go back and say, hey, look, you know, I apologize for mm-hmm. the way that I said what I said, you know,
yeah.
And then I try to go back and say, well, this is, you know, this is what made me feel this way, or,
yeah,
you know, or I'll even let her know, like, hey, mom is struggling today, you know,
but yeah, and that's,
I'm having a bad day. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's emotional integrity right there. Like, just being aware of how you feel and why you feel that way. And like, that's so powerful that you're teaching her to be in kind of in tune with her emotions and be able to communicate those emotions. So even though you struggled with communication, you're teaching her how to communicate in that sense, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. It's important, man.
Yeah.
Like, we gotta know how, you know, we gotta be aware of how we're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know, I just had a recent little incident with my daughter where, you know, she's 9 and she's, you know, she's starting to get a
girl.
Yeah.
Girl.
And, you know, I was very upset by something, and, you know, I said, do you remember how I used to be? And I used to rage, I'm not gonna lie, I used to rage. And she said yes, and I'm like, do you want me to be like that? And she's like, no. And I'm like, well, why? I need you to understand me.
Yeah.
I need you to understand why I'm upset at your actions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because, you know, some of the things she had been doing was kind of disrespecting me, disrespecting my motherhood, when I know that I've done the best that I can to give you the best and raise you the best. So why are you not acting like the best?
How do you like, because this is something I struggle with, and maybe it's because Alex is really young, right? But how do you go about having conversations about that, right? Like, you said, like, she was disrespecting your motherhood, right? And you've done the best that you can, but she's not understanding. So how, like, I don't know, how do you go about having that conversation? Like, this is all I can do. Like, how do you get feedback from your child? You know, I know that's crazy, because how, like, it's so hard to word, Because I never heard a lot of sorries from my parents. Like, that, my parents apologizing to me? Girl, please. But, like, you know, as an educator, feedback is everything, right? Mm-hmm. So you give your kids feedback, your students feedback, and they conversate with you on how they're learning, all that kind of stuff. And I think as a parent, that's important, too. But how do you have that conversation?
It sounds like me and Stephanie are like right in the same. I mean, Gracie turns 8 on Sunday. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I've not always been big on, like, you know, whoopings, so to say.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, you know, there's a time and a place, and sometimes we got whoopings just because our parents had a bad day.
Oh my gosh, mm-hmm. Yes.
So, but the other day, you know, I had to do it, and having that conversation to say, look, you know, I've been asking you to do this repeatedly, I swear, for the whole summer, it feels like, mm-hmm. you know, and you're going without, you know, you got all these things that you need, plus the things that you want, you know, and as your mother, like, all I ask for you is to respect what I say. I'm not asking you to be perfect,
but yeah.
I'm asking you to respect what I say. And, like, before, you know, whooping, I'm telling her, like, do you understand why you're about to get a whooping? Like, do you understand mm-hmm. that you're getting this because of the actions you did? You know, there's a reaction to every action, and because you chose to not do what I asked and to just blatantly, you know, kind of be disrespectful, mm-hmm. this is the consequence you get. You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, went through it, and I told her, like, it truly breaks my heart to do that, and I know it hurts, and I know it breaks your heart, but this is, you know, like, understanding that mm-hmm. relationship when you don't do what you're supposed to do as far as respecting your mom and your parents, this is what's gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
So right. You make the choice, do I want to get this every time, or do I just want to listen and not have to deal with it? Like,
yeah.
it's ultimately their choice.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I have a village. I'm not gonna say I do. I have a village when it comes to Adele, mm-hmm. a village of women.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my daughter, we're totally different. We're different from each other. I read books all the time. She doesn't. You know, I'm a nerd in school. She doesn't even like school. So we're polar opposites,
mm-hmm.
and I have women in my life that are my polar opposite, but we are best friends. So I go and I vent to my friends, and they're like, you know what, I used to do that too, mm-hmm. you know, while I can't relate to my own daughter because I wasn't like that, these women can relate.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go, I basically tell on her. And you know, and they come to, you know, my rescue.
Yeah.
Because I tell them what's going on, and they tell me exactly how I feel because they had the same conversation with their mother. So they yeah. know exactly how, you know, they made their mother feel. Of course they didn't know it while they were doing it.
Yeah.
They had
that's
learned.
A blessing. That's a blessing. Mm-hmm.
That is. That really is. My families are really far. We don't live close, and then we don't really visit each other as much, and we call all the time, but it's not the same, right? In of having like those people there and like just helping you out in those situations.
Mhm.
Yeah. That's a blessing, and that's so good that you have that.
Yeah. Oh, yes. For the first time I don't have a village, you know, like it's mostly me, and, you know, my parents. And for the first time, my aunt, the other week, we were out, and Gracie said something, and, you know, I quickly responded. I wasn't, you know, mean or yelling. I just responded very fast.
Mm-hmm.
And my aunt looked at me, and she said, actually, I think it's the level of respect that Gracie has for you. She's like, she's not scared of you by any means. She said she just doesn't want to disappoint you.
She said I think you
sometimes respond so fast, you don't quite give her time to say what exactly it is she wants or needs. And you know, it was just like, okay, thank you for that, because that's not something, you know, I would have probably ever realized until it was too late.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's the same. But that's your village, though.
Yeah.
You know, even that little piece like that, because I can say the same. Mm-hmm. Like, my sister, well, she's my god sister. She told me exactly how I need to be with Adele, which is, she says you have to stay on her at all times. That's the type of child she is. Mm-hmm. But see, I wasn't that type of child. Mm-hmm. You could tell me to do something, I'll go do it, and I'll go back in my room and close my door and read a book.
Yeah.
But my daughter is like, you tell her to do something, 3 weeks later.
Yeah, I think we have, like, sound like we got the same kid. Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so repetitive, and it's like, I'm tired of saying the same thing
over and over.
Getting her to take care of herself, like, she's getting older, so I'm trying to get her to, you know, clean your skin, do this and do that, and I'm like, it's like, when I'm there, like my sister said, when I'm on her, she's there. Mm-hmm. You know, but that's so tiring and draining when you have a plethora of other things to do. So it's just like, you see that I'm so busy. Help me out. Help me out and just do what you're supposed to do.
Help me.
Yes.
Help me.
But see, but at the same time, helping me is just helping yourself. Yeah. Because I'm just telling you to take care of yourself.
Yep.
You know, I'm just telling you to do little things in regards to yourself. But those are the same things that nobody was telling me to do when I was a child.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I think as a child, I mean, that's kind of hard, right? Like, you have all these other things that you want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like, well, I can play instead. Like, I can just go over here and play instead, and it's so much better, Mom. Like, can I get the chance?
Ask her to bring something. You like, it'd be in the room, and I say, Gracie, put this in the sink. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I go off, do something else, come back, and it's still there. Just ask you.
Listen, I'm sitting here like I'm the only person. Apparently not, because I'd be like, Alex, how many times?
I'm so quick to say, if you don't turn the TV off, just turn it off.
Yes. Listen, you know what? So I was retwisting Alex's hair today, right? And I can't tell you how many times I turned off that TV. I said, Alex, I just need you to stay still. I know you can't really stay still, but just a little bit, like just this part right here, your head.
It's like
a bit of steel. Please, because I keep going back and forth. My back hurt, my legs hurt. I can't be doing this with you for 17 hours, okay? I'm asking you for three. I'm asking you for three. Let me retwist your hair, and then you could go on about your day, because this is too much.
Yeah. You know, it's just having children is just, especially when you want to do it, you know, properly, like whatever your definition of properly is, like it's work. Like it's not just, all right, you go ahead, sit in the living room, watch TV all day, do your thing. No. I mean, what are you know, like,
when you want to actually raise your child, it is work.
Even though that's easy, right? Like, that's easy to just be like, okay, go ahead, man. Just go ahead and watch.
I'll be like, you know what? Just go.
Yeah.
And then I'll turn around and be like, all right, never mind. Come on.
Come on. We got to learn something
Mama
today.
Mama just needed a breather for a second. let's get right.
Yeah.
But, you know, but I pick days. I pick days for that. Yeah. So before we, right now, we're in the process of moving. But before we moved, we had Fend for Yourself Friday.
Girl, I like that.
Fend for Yourself Friday. So throughout the week, I've cooked, we've eaten out. There's plenty of leftovers in the refrigerator by Friday. So Fend for Yourself Friday is go eat whatever in the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go to sleep in the living room. You can watch TV all night. I'm going in my room. But it's on Fridays.
Yeah.
Like, I literally let them just do whatever.
Yeah.
For, like that, that when work is over and we're finally home, fend for yourself, Friday begins.
Oh my God, I wish. That would give me an anxiety attack. That with Alex, girl, he would have like a sugar, like he'll be in a sugar coma. And like, I don't know from where, because there ain't that much sugar in his house. Like, it's just, it, ooh wee. Just thinking about it gives me anxiety.
But see, I have Adele.
Yep, know, and she's older, so you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just ooh, like wee. You just gotta give it time, you know. Cause yeah. How old is Alex?
5.
Yeah.
Yes.
So. And he's a boy.
Izzy.
You know what they say about boys? They just take forever.
Oh my goodness! Jesus. Yes. Let's talk a little bit about like recognizing those patterns, and like were you always aware, or like, and I think we touched a little bit about this, but like just recognizing those patterns and how do you cope with like those patterns, the trauma, inherited norms or beliefs.
Well, I didn't recognize anything until after I had my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And of course that took a while. And for me, I just research. Like once I had my first, I had had like a psychology course in undergrad, because that's when I had my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned about like the stages of child development.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just started researching. And so I just see things from a different point of view. Like, so for instance, like my brother, he chews everything. Like he just constantly has to have something in his mouth to chew.
Yeah.
And I actually learned that that's actually like a form of anxiety that's mm-hmm. picked up in like early childhood developmental stages, because it's like they get stuck. I don't know verbatim for word, but it is a sign of anxiety.
Yeah.
And so when I was a kid, you know, it was like we had a dog, because my brother literally chewed all of my Barbie doll hands and feet off. And so I just thought it was just him being completely annoying as a child. But mm-hmm. when I grew up, I'm like, oh wow, my brother has anxiety mm-hmm. really, really bad, because yeah. he chews. So, you know, at first I'm using what I'm learning outwardly, and then I started looking on the inside. Okay, well, what do you do according to this textbook? According to what you research, what are some of my things, you know, that help me recognize my trauma? Mm-hmm. So that's how I cope. I just read.
Yeah.
That's been my first step, is, you know, learning about it.
Yeah. I can agree with that. I think for me it was before I had my daughter, I kind of started realizing like my, you know, my mental state. Like I could tell that like I wasn't myself, but then I was like, I don't really know what myself is. I mean, I had her at 20, so I was still young.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of started, you know, kind of doing my research prior to having her. And then after having her, I quickly realized like, all right, actually, you're struggling. You've struggled all through high school with depression. Like, mm-hmm. I think I remember an old Facebook post came up, and one of my friends had commented on it. And I think this was like, it had to be my sophomore year in high school. And they were like, you're always sick, you know? And so I started going back and reading my post. And I would put so much about how my stomach always hurt. And then I remembered I always went to the doctor about my stomach hurting, but they could never figure out what it was. And I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, I was anxious, you know, like mm-hmm. I was depressed. And so after having her, it's just like a light bulb just kind of went off. Like, oh, you've been depressed and you've been dealing with anxiety for a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. And after that, it's just like Steph said, just researching and learning ways to cope and you know, how to be your your best self.
Yeah. I can completely relate to that too. Like, I didn't realize that I was like going through like anxiety and like depression until after I graduated high school and like had like this god awful panic attack, and like it was the worst. But I tried therapy, all that kind of stuff, but I just wasn't, I don't know, I was going through like an identity crisis type thing, and like I don't really need this, and just in denial about a lot of that stuff. And like a lot of the way it was, this isn't the greatest way to cope, but like even 11th grade, 10th grade year of high school, like I would drink all the time. Like I would just be like, just find a reason to drink. And I ended up realizing later that that was my way of like escaping. And again, not the healthiest way to cope, right? But right. As I got older, like once I like left Armstrong and like decided to go to Georgia Southern, all that kind of stuff, I started to realize like these things are really affecting me in a way that is not good. And then I had Alex, and I was like, yo, like I need to get my shit together. I really do, because if I don't, nothing good is gonna come out of me having a kid. And Stephanie, I was kind of like you, like I wasn't planning on having kids, and I was told that I couldn't for a long time, it kind of just like, oh well, I'm not supposed to, you know, like kind of led that in my mind, like I'm not supposed to, that's right. That's just what it is. And then Alice came along, and I was like, well, there goes that. And I think that's whenever I realized I needed to just become more aware of what is going on with me and what are those things that's affecting me. Because if I don't ever get a hand on it, then I'm never going to be able to make those changes in order for things to go well.
Alex to thrive, you know, because like we're, you know, we're their first line, like we're their first line sight. So they are truly reflections of us. And that, I mean, I think that's what I tell anybody now, like, even though I truly did not want kids, like that was she was my saving grace.
Yes.
Because of her, I feel like, you know, I even know about myself. Like I know how to, you know, like I know how I am. I know my feelings. And that's all because of her. Because I feel like without her, I feel like I still would have been in the same cycle, just kind of, because I didn't have anything motivating me to be any different.
So I think this is the perfect time to ask this, because I believe this. Do you believe that there are certain people that are put on this earth to break generational curses, to break these cycles?
For sure. For sure. Like, I feel like I'm the one in my family, for sure.
Yeah. I truly believe this. And I feel like, so there was this one time, and we were at Quentin's family's house, and his brother was talking to Quentin, and he was like, you're the person. You were put on this planet to break those generational curses that our family has. And I was like, whoa, like that is it just, you know, I was like, wow, like I've always felt like I've been that person, right? And my child is going to break these cycles, right? And I, like at that moment, I was like, so I'm gonna be with a man that's gonna be doing the same thing, and this is just what it's supposed to be,
right?
A few months ago, I was in a dark space, and I came across this like online ministry, and you know, I would speak to one of the leaders of the ministry, and I know one night we just had like this long talk, and you know, I was just telling her how I felt like I carried everything for everybody.
Yes.
Like anything anybody has an issue with, it's to me, whether it be mom, dad, sister, friends, everybody comes to Ashley.
Yeah.
And she was like, you know, it sounds like, you know, you are the intercessor. She said, but the issue is you're not letting it go. She said, you're holding on to all of it. And she said, you know, there are people that God puts on this earth, you know, to make that change. And she said, it sounds like, my friend, you are that person. And that, to me, like, it's the hardest, it's been the hardest thing. But the moment she said, hey, you just got to let it go to God, it was like she just gave me permission to say, oh, well, now I can live for me. You know, like, yeah. I can still help, but realize that I'm not the one that's got to change it. I'm just here to take it to God and pray for them and, you know, be that relationship for my mom and him, or whomever it is.
Yeah.
It's, being that person is very hard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
it takes, like I said, like we said earlier, it takes courage. It takes faith. It takes dedication.
And sometimes that can become heavy. That
nobody else has ever done.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think it becomes even heavier whenever you realize that you are that person, right? Because you feel like I need to do this for the better, right? Of generations to come. I need to make sure that I'm doing my part in this.
Yeah.
Right. But but my family has always made me feel like the golden child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've always said, you're gonna be a doctor, you're gonna be a lawyer, you know generic type of with dreams, and you know, I'm a teacher.
Yeah.
But you know, but I'm still the first, like, in my immediate family to have like a career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to like go to school. Like, I've broken so many cycles already.
Yeah. How has these like patterns and stuff like that affected like relationships or friendships or anything like that for y'all?
I don't have a lot of friendships.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because of the communication part.
Yeah,
because I totally relate to that part. Mm-hmm. It's like my one true friend, she conditioned me to be her friend.
Yes.
We met in sixth grade and we were like the chubby girls on the cheerleading team. And we just, and she just, you know, used to just be in my face,
mm-hmm.
talking to me. And then when, you know, we had phones, calling me, and I would just, and it was completely new to me.
Yeah.
And so like, she literally made me be her friend.
I get that, because that's how Jasmine and Jamisa are my people. Like, they have forced me into this into this friendship, and I thank them for it, because I'm one of those people that, like, if we don't talk for a while, it's like, okay, you know what I'm saying? I'm just okay. Like, my phone can be dry as ever, and I'd be like, all right. Like, I leave my phone everywhere, and sometimes I feel so bad, because I've met so many great people, like you guys, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like, reconnecting with you guys has been amazing, because you guys are so great. But like, I'm one of those, I don't put a lot of effort into communication, and that sucks. Like, it really does suck. And I think I don't know, I could do better, you know? Yeah. I could definitely do better.
But like, being social isn't like my first like personality trait.
Right. Yeah.
I can be social, but just being social is just not
like choosing to be that person. Mm-mm. Like, I'm more of a, like, I'm gonna stay in my house and I'm just gonna kick it here. But if I'm out and about, I'm, you know, I'm gonna be friendly, do, you know, the social stuff. But it's not the thing I'm choosing to do.
Yeah. I'm right there with y'all. I think for me, like, with my relationships, my friendships, my biggest thing is wanting, let me make sure I say this word correctly, reciprocity.
That word. Mm-hmm.
Because I do, you know, I will reach out and I'll communicate and I'll check on you and I'll, you know, be that friend. And I'm, I guess, the friend that I've been is me wanting that in return.
In return,
you know, And so, like, I've not gotten that. So it's like, well,
yeah,
I'm not going to keep, you know, not going
to
keep
doing there's no it, reason so. To force it.
Yeah. So
that's I get that. I completely get that. I think for me, the reason why it's so hard to, like, just, I don't know, just kind of keep people around is because I think in a way I'll have to become vulnerable to to these people, and that is a tough thing to do, to be honest. It's just, it's tough, right? And I'd rather just not, you know, stick my neck out there for it to be chopped off.
Right. Like, you know, it's very difficult, especially when you're like multifaceted type of person. It's like, okay, is this person gonna like this? Is this person gonna like that? Is it, like, are they really gonna accept me? But what I learned from someone a couple of, maybe a year or two ago, she told me, she says, you have to have people for different parts of you.
Yes.
Because everybody doesn't deserve you as a whole. So if you're into yoga, have people that you strictly do yoga with. That's what y'all talk about. That's what you do. If you have the prayer team, you pray with them. If you walk, you walk. Those are your walkers. You walk with them. So that's what she told me. And that's what I'm trying to build now. Of course, it's hard during this time, but that's what I'm trying to build now. I'm trying to, you know, make myself vulnerable, but only in those areas for certain people.
And you choose because, that, like, you're in charge of that portion. You know what I'm saying? That part of it,
right? And then all the crazy me is for at home.
Your judgment free zone.
Let's talk a little bit about rewriting your story. And I guess the struggles through that, or like how you are doing that now. Because I know Steph wanted to talk a little bit about starting new traditions, and I thought that was like, that didn't even come to my mind. I was like, wow, like, first of all, that's a hard thing to do, right? Because if you're stuck in those older traditions, right, it's like, why build new ones? But like, it can be so powerful to, like, for generations to come. So let's talk a little bit about that.
It's an everyday struggle for me. Like, and I gotta go back because it's like a continuous struggle, because like I said before, old habits die hard. And it you know, and the one thing that I've always lacked in is consistency. You know, I start something and then trying to maintain it, but you know, when it comes to those traditions and those lifestyles and leaving old ones behind, you gotta stick to it. Because you're building a foundation, a legacy. And that's always been my thing. Like, there's a lot of traditions that my family have that I see no value in it. Like, I don't understand the history behind it. And I think a lot of that is because I don't truly understand my heritage either. You know, it's like nothing there for me. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to start here. I'm going to start right here with what I have. And so that's how I feel about it. That's how I feel about those new traditions. And I talk about that now. You know, I'm currently dating someone, and we have the same views on that. And so it's like, okay, let's do this. Like, my first tradition is I Love You Day. And no, it's not Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Like, it's the day after you get your taxes.
Oh, I need to participate in I Love You Day.
So it can happen, you know, you get to I Love You Day happens any time, you know, right after I could just go get something, you know, make a tradition to where I, you know, get a certain food on a certain day. Like, it's just little silly things that, you know, you don't even think about that could be a tradition.
One of the things that I want to do is travel in December. Like, that's one thing I want to do every single year. Like, the tradition for Christmas is for us to travel to a new a new place or someplace that we really, really love. I have yet to do that. We've only done that one time. But, like, it's, you know, for many reasons. But that's one thing that I really do want to do. Like, Christmas sucks whenever... I come from a family that parties and, like, loves to celebrate and all that kind of stuff. So whenever Christmas comes around, and that's usually when it happens, or Thanksgiving and stuff, it's like I don't have that. We live so far apart, so it's like I don't have that anymore without it being a burden to me. Like, I would have to travel there and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, although I love doing that, that's not something I want to have to go through every single Christmas. So... one thing that I do want to make sure that I do is travel, like, just every Christmas or the week of or whatever, because we're both educators, we have those days off. I want to make sure that we are visiting new places and kind of exposing Alex to those new places that I was never able to be exposed to, you know?
Right.
I get that. My family is small, so like our traditions, you know, it's always been mom, dad, me, and sister, and then now, you know, it's still small, and so as far as like holidays, I still try to, you know, be with my family because that's what's important to me. But outside of holidays, you know, like a tradition for me and Gracie is Saturday mornings we go to Waffle House. And we share a chocolate chip waffle, you know, and that's something that she gets excited about. Like, and she'll wake up and say, ooh, we get chocolate chip waffle today?
Yeah.
Yes, girl. Let's get it.
Yes.
Let's go. Like, and I absolutely love it, you know, and a lot of times I think, like, social media or just people try to make it seem like traditions have to be this extravagant thing, but it's whatever speaks to your heart and your family's heart, you know, what's special to y'all.
Yeah, and I like what Steph said, like, you have to be consistent about it so that it does become that very special thing, right? Just not doing it once in a blue.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. We touched on accountability earlier, and kind of going back to breaking these cycles, at what point do you think we should be held accountable for changing that narrative?
I think it's, I don't know if I would say there's a certain point, but I would just like to say, I would hope that at some point you realize yourself, like, you know, I really need to do better, or which I think is what sounds like we've all done, you know, we've noticed and recognized what we need to change. But where that happens, I think that just is dependent upon where you are in your life.
Right. Like, definitely when you recognize it, but you just, like, you can recognize it, but you can't really truly acknowledge it. So I feel like if you recognize it and then you just refuse to really acknowledge it, then you really should be held accountable.
Yeah.
You know, because you really, it's just, that's just what it is.
Because at that point, that's a generational choice. Right? Like, at that point, you are choosing not to break what can be broken.
Exactly.
All right, ladies. Well, this has been awesome. Kind of closing it out, I think it is important to see that your parents are just a person outside of the roles that they play in your life. And it is necessary to understand that they have their own unresolved trauma that they may or may not recognize. And I think that once you know that they have that and that they don't know exactly how to deal with it or heal themselves, at that point it's your turn to you know, move it forward and again break those cycles. I think once you're able to do that, you start to heal, you start to recognize how their actions have affected you, and you know, you just start to really realize the importance of forgiving them for it and moving forward, so that when it is time for generations to come, that it is a positive thing, and that we grow in a sense that is only going to be better for the years to come. I do want to thank you ladies for doing this with me. You guys are awesome for giving me your time. And for those who have listened to the podcast, I appreciate you guys. Please rate us at 5, you know, so that you guys can keep getting episodes and all that kind of stuff. Again, I appreciate you guys for listening, and yeah, bye.